Dan Houston, CEO and President of Houston Fitness Consultants, a couple of locations in Clarkston and Milford. Good evening, Dan. How are you?
Oh, good evening. We're doing pretty well. It's a little on the toasty side, but that kind of falls in line with what we were discussing earlier.
It absolutely is. And we set records in the Lansing area at 93 degrees today with that heat index near 100 degrees. So it absolutely falls in line. When I gave you a call this morning, I had picked up a story you had posted about a Chicago half marathon runner who died, 26 years old. He was a physical therapist. He'd been training for months for the race in Chicago the last weekend, which also had kind of what we're having now, the 90-degree weather, thick humidity. And so one would assume that this young man was in the picture of health. So you, of course, came to mind. You do training for a living. And I wanted to know, A, how you get in trouble and how you avoid getting in trouble.
Good, both good questions. One of the things we do, and a perfect example, our studio this evening is in the, it's in the 80s in here. It's just almost an oppressive type of heat, even with the air conditioners going. So we have to modify the workout so our clients don't expend as much energy thermally as they normally would. And that's what we wanted to address. Dehydration is an important thing to consider because your body only has a limited amount of fluids that it can work with. So it tries to evaporate those fluids through the skin to act as a cooling mechanism. But once you start to sweat, and it's a warm day like it is today where the heat index is close to 100, the heat index is actually higher than the surface temperature of your skin. So the sweat doesn't evaporate as quickly. It actually, the skin kind of, the moisture actually acts as a magnifying glass for the heat, and it actually traps more heat and forces you to lose fluids faster than you're usually aware of. So what happens, a lot of people, even if they drink water, they don't realize how quickly they're losing it. They lose it through respiration and they lose it through evaporation. But initially it comes from the blood, from the muscles and from the bloodstream. But when they both start to dehydrate, when you start to lose more fluids than you're replacing, the blood gets a little bit thicker and that decreases blood flow to the muscles. And when that happens and oxygen demand is high, you start to get a very scary situation where your body starts to try to protect itself. And when we have days like this, we try to warn our clients or at the very least make them aware of the physical potential of what high temperatures can do. They think sweating is a good thing, and it is to a point. But when you're exposed to temperatures that are higher than your skin temperature and you're continually exposed to it and you're trying to sweat, you actually create a negative influence on your health.
Well, what I found interesting in the article, well, A, I just learned a whole bunch of things I've never learned before in my life. Thank you, Dan. Coming back to what you said, the body is trying to protect itself, so it knows it's in an extreme condition. It knows it's under severe stress, so your body then takes over and starts to react to that and try to save itself.
Right, and it'll save itself within the normal performance window that it can work with. It'll take fluids from the bloodstream and take fluids from the muscles, and it'll evaporate out a quart or 2 quarts worth of fluid, but you don't have much more than that you can spare. And when you just drink water while you're exercising, the water goes into the digestive tract. It doesn't go back immediately into the bloodstream. So when the blood gets a little thicker, which it will when you're evaporating too much moisture, then you've created a situation where your heart has to work a lot harder to move the blood through the capillary system. Because capillaries are very small, and when blood gets even a little bit thicker, it inflames the nerves, and your body starts to protect itself.
Well, that's astonishing. I mean, as I'm hearing this, that's astonishing. I didn't actually know that information. So when you're running, like the article we're talking about, you're running in a race, grabbing water and staying hydrated in the race isn't going to fix the problem right then.
Drinks, which are designed to replace fluids more quickly because it has sodium and potassium in it, so it can be absorbed into the bloodstream quicker. Because without the sodium, you don't get the sodium pump that draws the water out of the digestive tract. Otherwise, it just stays in the digestive tract until your body can get to it. But you don't necessarily want to just drink water or just sports drinks, because if you drink too much in the way of sports drinks, your body will actually try to digest it, which draws blood out of the cooling system that it's trying to use and brings it into the digestive tract. So again, you create a situation where your body can't get rid of heat as efficiently as it likes to. One of the dangers of running in an event like a half marathon or any, just people that want to go for a jog when it's 100 out, is that the road surface tends to reflect a lot of heat upwards, and it also absorbs a lot of heat as they run. So you're not actually escaping from it like you might be able to if you were to run indoors. you know, later in the day, the road's unbearably hot. We've actually measured it with an infrared thermometer, and we've seen temperatures as high as 155 degrees on a 100-degree day. And that's another thing that your body's trying to work against, is trying to get rid of heat while that surface is trying to heat it up.
Well, and all of these things, I mean, I'm listening to this and this information you have, which is so valuable, and I'm thinking, do we just not run on days like this? I mean, I'm saying we as if I would do a marathon, Dan. First of all, you need to know, I don't see that happening.
I've tried to stop you before. You're unstoppable.
So, not until I come and train with you first anyway. But seriously, when you're looking at folks maybe looking at running a marathon, you know, in this kind of heat, what would be the precautions they should take, or should they just avoid it?
Well, if they have any heart risk concerns, it's probably best not to try to pursue a marathon in the summer. Fall, spring, when the temperatures aren't as extreme, probably a better time to train. But if you've never trained to work in the heat, then you can create a very, very unfortunate situation. And it's one that your body can't necessarily come back from. You know, one of the disadvantages is when people are that dehydrated, you can't just give them an IV and have them come back. Their body has to thin the blood, which requires a lot more fluids than they would normally get from an IV. If it was a slower state, it would work, but generally it's a critical situation when they need it.
What do we need to watch for? Pretend we're not running a marathon; we're just out doing riding a bike. What if you're working outside? What are the signs that you watch for when you know you may be in trouble and you need to do something?
Well, profuse sweating is obviously one of the first signs. Feeling very warm in the chest area, even if you've got the sun on your back, is an indication that your body is working too hard. When you start to get chills, like goosebumps from being out in the sun, that's an indication that your body is going into heat exhaustion, which is a couple of steps before it goes into heat stroke. But that's a warning sign that your body's trying to pull blood away from the surface, even though it needs to cool itself down.
Well, it's go ahead.
Oh, so I was going to say, so whenever they have these high heat indexes or high heat warnings like they have today and tomorrow, the best thing to do is, if you do have to exercise, is plan to drink a lot of fluids. Don't overdo the exercise, even though the temptation might be to run because no one else is out there. Mm-hmm. But it's better to break it up into a couple of sessions during the day instead of trying to do it all at once. Give your body a chance to rehydrate. Give it a chance to, restabilize so that it's capable of doing more work than trying to do it all at once.
Well, it's excellent advice, and frankly, it's life-saving advice, Dan. I appreciate it so much. As always, have to mention your global warming salsa company, national award-winning gourmet salsa company. And I love how you keep spreading to more and more stores. You're going to get to this Lansing area shortly.
Yes, we are. We've actually got a couple of leads out that way, and now that our school is out there where we teach our kids fitness course, it's out this week, so that frees up a couple of afternoons a week where I can get out and start seeing what the people in the middle of the state think of our salsa.
Well, you give me a call when it's here, because I'll help you with that one. I love it. Thank you so much, Dan,
That'll
as always.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks for the invite. Thanks.
Thank you. Dan Houston, a CEO and president of Houston Fitness Consultants in Clarkston and Milford.